Blog Talk Radio.
Proudly the note of the trumpet is sounding, loudly the war cries arise on the gale. Fleetly the steed by Loch Swilly is bounding to join Sussex squadrons on Saymer's green vale. On every mountaineer, stranger to flight or fear, rush to the standard of dauntless red hue. Bonnet and galloglass, strong from each mountain pass, onward Fred and O'Donnell the Blue. Princely O'Neill to our aid is advancing, with many a chieftain and warrior clan. 1,000 proud steeds in his vanguard advance, meets the borders brave from the banks of the Bann. Many a heart shall quail under its coat of mail, deeply the merciless foeman shall rue. When on his ear shall ring, borne on the breeze's wing, Tyrconnell's dread war cry, O'Donnell aboo. And the war wolf is howling, fearless the eagle sweeps over the plain. The fox in the streets of the city is prowling, and all who would conquer them are banished or slain. On with O'Donnell then, fight a good fight against sons of Tyrconnell, are valiant and true. Make the proud Saxon feel, Erin's avenging steel, strike for your country, O'Donnell aboo. Saxon feel, Erin's avenging steel, strike for your country, O'Donnell aboo.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. That's a good Christmas gift, the Spirit of America Party book. If you want to, if you got a relative who's got low blood pressure and you want to raise it a little bit, especially if he's on the left side of the couch, okay, so what's our title for the subject for tonight? And by the way, this is Hanukkah, the first night of Hanukkah, and I just saw a picture of GIs in Afghanistan wearing yarmulkes, and they're having a service. So I wish all our fellow Americans a happy Hanukkah. And I have a tribute. The next break we take, I have rare Al Jolson Jewish song called Hatikva, and it may be a treat to those who know the words. So, rhinos must be identified as the new Democrats. And Mark Levin says he's inches away from walking away from the Democrat Republican Party, which is really now the Democrat Party, because the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. And you can't believe that. Oh, no, you see, we won the war, Cold War, and the wall came down, and they all came here, and they took over the country. They made believe, China and Russia made believe they were having a squabble, and we gave them money to fight each other. And they pooled their resources and bought new military weapons. There isn't a weapon in the Middle East that's not autographed by a Russian. It's the old shell game. Good candidates run the debate. Do you remember the last Republican campaign? And you had Ms. Bachman, and you had Rick Santorum, and you had who would have mopped the floor? Who would have mopped the floor with Obama? Obama would not have come out for the second round. What's his name? He married Callista, and she does baby books. Newt Gingrich. Yes, the happy warrior. Yeah, And all these guys, they all ran the gauntlet, and there was other guys that, I think one guy's name was Portman, and they all ran the gauntlet of the debates, and they tried to raise money to stay in the game, and eventually money shut them out. They ran out of money, and they crapped out. And as they limped to the final stage to get try to get up on the stage, who was sitting there ready to welcome them? Jeb Bush. That's who's sitting there now. Jeb Bush. These guys are all going to do the same, make the same mistake that was made in the last campaign. They're going to run out of money and steam, and Jeb Bush is going to be there just to sweep them under his wing. I got a question for Jeb Bush, and when he's releasing those emails, what did you do about Elian Gonzalez when the kid cried for help, oh, governor of Florida? Do you know what the Cuban people in Miami say you did? They say you swallowed your tongue. If you can swallow your tongue while a big communist moneymaker like Bill Clinton can kidnap a Cuban American, because once he put feet on this ground, he was an American. There's a special deal that we gave the Cuban people because we lost their country. Yeah. And we said, you know what? Because we left you to die in the Bay of Kennedy's, you can come here and get asylum, automatic. But Chuck Schumer said the kid's feet never touched the ground, and therefore he could go back. And they gave him to Castro as a gift. Today, the kid is a young pioneer in the communist movement, and he hates America. Yet his mother died to get him here. And so you know what the press did? Under the leadership of Geraldo Spike-em-all, Rivera, he called his mother a putana. I'm not saying Geraldo did, but the press did. Geraldo just said, a boy belongs with his father. And his father came to the door of the airplane and gave America the finger, and then unloaded all kinds of drugs to dope the kid up with to bring him home. And nobody would come to this kid's rescue. Every judge and lawyer was in hiding. It was Holy Week, and nobody would come to the door. There was one senator from New Hampshire who went to the airbase up in Washington, D.C., where the kid was being held hostage. The senator's name was Bob Smith. And because he stood up for this kid and America, Bob Smith lost his job. He never got to be senator again. And he hails from the Live Free or Die state, which now looks like they're dying. And they don't live free anymore. Not with the taxes the way they are. And that's the story of Jeb Bush, who the Cuban people accused him of swallowing his tongue. He did not speak up for the helpless and hopeless. And the Democrat Party of Death thought that they were going to take the love boat to Havana and make all kinds of deals and get some of that rum money and some of the drug money and get some of the sugar money and get some of the tobacco money that Fidel Castro is hoarding for the Cuban people who tonight are eating still life paintings and fighting over a chicken. Yeah, Fidel Castro. And if you say bad things about Fidel, your neighbor will turn you in because they've been trained. Like we're going to be trained very soon by the Communist Party of the United States. So it's the old shell game. Good candidates run the debate and financial gauntlet, and those who drop out and make it to the finish line, and at there they are greeted by Jeb Bush, already on the podium, sweatless. Bush is a loser, Rove is a loser, Romney is a loser, and we don't need a deja vu. If you couldn't win one gunfight, what makes you think you can win a war? There is only one party taking the lash for the country. More tea, anybody? One party is taking the lash. Morty, anybody? You know that, right? You know there's only one party out there fighting for America. And one day they'll be gone because they're all grandmas and grandpas, and they've been labeled racist by the communists who tonight were marching in the street and calling for dead cops. Yes, there's a war on cops. There's a war on the military. There's a war on Christianity. Tell me this isn't communism operating out in the open, full force. Yep. And all the Tea Party wants to do is give this country back to the working people. But in order to do that, we must first admit who we are fighting. We are fighting the Communist Party. And their goal is to control, and has been since 1945, to control one of the two parties. Now there's only one party. It's the Democrat Party, with Democrat light rhinos kissing ass behind the curtain. And the only people that are standing up are the new people that just got elected by the Tea Party. And they're taking office in January. And already the rhinos who did not support them in their candidacy with money, okay, already the rhinos are getting ready to badger them into falling in line with communist light. Okay, so you know that guy Gruber that gave us health care? And he said the American people are stupid. He's right. We are all little goobers. We are Gruber's goobers. The American people are stupid. If we were smart, we never would have allowed the race card to elect an anti-American racist and infect a nation with communists. Until we stop saying words like the left, the liberals, the progressives, and start saying communists, we will stay on the road back to slavery. And the good news about slavery is it's going to be in all colors this time. And we are going to lose a great country. And you know what? When we lose it, we're not going to be allowed to live or live in it. Don't blame Obama. That is what the communists want you to focus on while they continue to take us down. Obama did not get to be president by himself. Were you one of those who asked, who is this guy and where did he come from? How did he get here? Why can't we see his records? A whole movement created this Frankenstein, and now they have us cursing a disposable mannequin. Let us purge his creators. Let us not focus on what he's doing. He's only following orders. Let us first convince the rhinos to move back to bed with the demo camos, and let us build a second party. You know, the rhinos did not financially support our candidates, but now call them Republicans. Yet they supported flag burners like Thad Cochran and Match McConnell. Yes, 40 days before 9/11, those two gemstones voted to burn the flag with 40 Democrat senators. Stand now and deliver, or end up like a coffee sipper in an Australian chocolate shop. Eventually, we're all going to have to make a run for it. And my best advice that I can give you tonight is trust no one from Massachusetts or New York. And now I'm going to give you Al Jolson's Hatikva and pray to God that we never have a Masada in the United States.
Oh,
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Al Jolson. Okay. What else is going on? Oh, the Taliban are being naughty. They went into Pakistan, and they went to a school where there were kids ages 10 to 20, and they killed them. And they were armed with explosive vests. Yes, they killed 126. I think they wounded about 140. And this is what this is how we must be going through the age of Islamic enlightenment. Because if you go to school, they're going to put a bullet in you. And there's a picture of the boys outside a building. One guy's got a big sword, and other guy's got those brand-new AK-47s they're buying from the Russians. Yeah. Remember when the communists used to blame us for gun running? But they never blamed their rulers. They never blamed their bosses. It is really sad. Taliban gunmen stormed a military-run school in northwestern Pakistani city of Peshawar, loaded with Taliban. That city is loaded. They killed 126 people, the worst attack to hit the country in years. This is the country that throws bombs at its president. Right? What was her name? Bhutto? They killed her father. She ran for office, and they killed her too. Yeah, they're an equal opportunity slaughterer. And, of course, the Pakistani prime minister, he played a Democrat. He condemned the assault, and he rushed to Peshawar to show his support for the victims. Did you see those people running out of that Australian coffee shop? Did you see how fast those people came out of there? Do you know who was also fast? You want a little jihad deja vu? You remember seeing the picture of the big DNA cloud from the collapsing towers that was chasing people all the way over to the west side? And they jumped in the Hudson River. They didn't know if that cloud was a nuke. They didn't know if that cloud was poison. And they just ran for their lives. Okay, so the group wants to overthrow the government. See, we don't have that policy. Our government's already been taken over by the jihadis, communist jihadis. My son was in uniform this morning, and today he's in a casket. 14-year-old son, Abdullah. My son was my dream. My dream has been killed. There are 10,000 American mothers and wives who have had their dreams killed in this 9-1-1 war that will continue for another 37 years. And here's some of the comments. Do the citizens of the world see that it is time to lock and load? It will not stop until we start taking them out the big time. They are murderous, pig-eating slime, not worthy of life. That's one man's opinion. And they're all blaming Obama. Please do not blame Obama, because that's what the left wants you to do. The communists want you to do. They want you to focus on Obama. They pray that somebody kills him so that they can start a revolution in this country and turn it upside down. Let me tell you, it won't be some country boy from Georgia that takes out this president. It will be a communist who is disguised as a country boy from Georgia. And may that never happen. May God keep him safe. Fi aman Allah. May he stay safe until he's finally ejected from the White House. But you better concentrate on those who created this Frankenstein, because those are the ones who are permanently in power to hurt you and hurt yours. And they will brainwash your children. They'll have your children singing Russian national anthems before they get finished. And somebody says the Taliban must have a death wish. You attack and kill children of the Pakistani military. It is really sad. You know, our greatest ally today, which is almost hard to believe, you know who our greatest ally is today? It's the Saudis. They're driving the price of oil down to put the Iranians and the Russians out of business. They're the only ones that are fighting Iran and Russia. We're not. We would never. In Vietnam, as the Russians were setting up SAM missile sites, we wouldn't bomb them because we didn't want to hurt the Russians. When the Russians were offloading supplies in Hanoi, Haiphong Harbor, we didn't want to sink the ships because they were Russian ships. We've had one hand behind our back since Korea, and it's a wonder we survived Korea. Only by the strength of great Americans. We're in trouble, man. We got a communist running our military. They can't even pray anymore. It is sad, absolutely sad. So, pray for all the children who suffer throughout the world. And Islam is bad news. And you can't convince me it's a decent religion. And not when you can sell women. Yeah, slavery is alive. Where did I see? I saw something that one country just outlawed slavery. 2002. Saudi Arabia, 1992, they outlawed it. Yet Prince Saud from Kuwait, who was a brother of the Emir of Kuwait, Sheikh Jaber, his mother was a slave. Unbelievable. So, you see, this stuff goes on. And the liberals will paint you a picture of utopia that you will never see. The only thing you're going to see is a blindfold. Or you're going to be on TV getting your throat cut. Oh, that'll never happen here, not in the USA. And let me not forget this. I saw a picture that made me throw up tonight. Mayor Bloomingdale, I call him Mohammed the Bloomingdale, Bloomberg, is down in the 911 memorial shop. And who's with him? Hillary Clinton. And who else is with him? Barack Obama. And who else is with him? Bill Clinton. Now, I got to give you a little flashback. Let's go back to 2001, September the 11th. Bush is in office 9 months. Clinton had 8 years to get bin Laden. He had a golden opportunity in the Hindu Kush. Bin Laden was out falcon hunting with a prince from the United Arab Emirates, and he could have taken him out. We could have taken him out, and Clinton passed on it. Clinton passed on it, and that's why I call the World Trade Center the Clinton Towers, because in 1993, bin Laden tried to bring him down, and Clinton did nothing. Clinton is a can kicker. His entire party is a can kicker. Dianne Feinstein is a big can kicker. And if you notice, they're going back to blaming Bush. They're charging the CIA with atrocities. You know what's an atrocity? An atrocity is the voicemail message that Melissa's mother plays every day as she said goodbye on 911. That is torture. The 80th floor. Cantor Fitzgerald, an entire company wiped out. That is torture. 343 firemen, their wives and children. Never saw daddy come back from work. That is torture. That is real torture. 200 pro-life mothers who died with their pro-life babies, and the babies weren't counted by the communist government. Those babies should all have names, and they should be on the monument with their mothers. The families of those mothers that died should name the child And if they don't know the sex, just give it a plain name. The last name they know. And that's it, boy. But they won't do that. This government will not protect the unborn. But they'll send people to Africa to get Ebola to protect strangers, complete strangers. But if you're an American, there's no protection for you. You get a speech. Okay, so let me see what else we got here. Ted Cruz strikes back. Oh, the rhinos are going after Cruz, hammer and tongue. Oh, and they're already saying he's not eligible. You know why? Because he was born in Canada. We got a president that wasn't eligible. Nobody said anything. So what's good for the goose is good for the Canadian geese. It's good for the Canadian gander. Cruz will tell the truth. And you can see all his records. Yeah, they're not sealed up in the privilofs. It is really sad, man. Okay, we jump to a tune, and then I'll look for something to discuss. Here's a nice French tune. He said, here's a nice French tune. The French tune is not playing. Okay, just for that, you're going to get American Elvis. Oh, that's not playing either. Okay, we got to find something to read, and then we'll go to Democrat Congressman Jim Moran. You ever see this piece of offal, as Savage calls them? Whether he ever was anything but an adjunct who taught one class is up for debate. He studied all right. Alinsky, Marx, Lenin, LGBT, propaganda, Cloward Piven. No proof he did anything as an adjunct, so I don't buy it. He obviously did study in order to destroy it, art of war. Jim Moran is no good. He is the devil incarnate. He's one of the famous five that blocked the door to Terry Schiavo's rescue room, along with Bill Nelson, Bill Bayonet, the baby's Nelson. He signs for pro. What do they call it when they kill the kid and the head's coming out? And they crush it before he can see daylight. They have a name for it. I can't think of what it is, but you know what it is. Let's see what else we got here. Chester Combs replies to Mark Levin, inch away from leaving the GOP. That's the big news tonight. That is the big news. That is the big news. Here we go. I got a tune for you. It's Arabic by a crooner in Cairo.
بيسألني عليك أتريني بفكر فيك قمر دول ولا عينك قلبي بيسألني عليك أتريني بفكر فيك معقول أكون حبيت
Okay, we're back. A federal judge finds Obama amnesty order is unconstitutional. So that's one for the good guys, but they got a big hurdle, a big hurdle. You ever wonder why, Snake Holder, why he's slithering out the side door? What is he, why is he making his exit? Is it to get a bigger job in the party, or is he got to lay low because dirt's going to come out when the Republicans start opening the books? Who knows? Only God knows, and he's not talking. Gitmo detainees. Did you hear about this? Dianne Feinstein sent copies of her report to all the Gitmo detainees. You know why that is? To give them a fuel for the fire so they can say they were tortured. Yeah, the ones that cut the throats of Americans, cut the heads off Americans. If you go to my website, www.captainsblog.us, and you scroll down long enough, you'll see an Al-Qaeda holding the head of a GI by his short hair after they cut his head off. And nobody has ever seen that picture in this country. No, we don't show hideous things like that because we're civilized. You'll be civilized up until the point where there's a knock on your door. And then we'll see how civilized you are. So that's what Dianne Feinstein did on the way out. That was her FU America. Yeah. I got a picture. I got to find it. It shows Hillary Clinton and her husband leaving the warehouse. It was a warehouse for them. The White House. And then all of a sudden, she opens her coat and she's got all the silverware, you know, all set up like on display inside her coat. That's going to go over big when she runs for the first woman president. This is what we need. Yeah, can she bake a souffle? I'd rather have Wolfgang Puck run for president. And with his new pressure cooker. Yeah, at least we get something useful out of Wolfgang. Ted Cruz strikes back. Rhinos must be identified as the new Democrats. Oh, that's by me. That's my show tonight. That's good. It worked out. Okay. Now I'm getting a notice about my show. Isn't that something? I'm way ahead of myself. God bless America. Let me forward this because it's going to be important when the revolution begins or I get arrested, whichever comes first. Yes. Tell me, were you ever a member of the Tea Party? Yes. Can you give me the names of your associates? Yes. Don't torture me. I'll tell you anything you want to know. First off, there's Orange. That's his code name. And then there's Jasmine. And there's Pico. And there's Oolong. Any more? That's all I can remember right now. Why don't you torch me a little bit? Give me the torture that the CIA gave to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And maybe we can do something. What kind of torture did he have? Or they played music, American rock and roll. That won't break me. How about a little Brazilian music? How about a little Brazilian music? Thank you very much. Art popular. Okay, a conundrum. Somebody sent this and asked me, do you know what a conundrum is? Isn't that those rubber things they give out to the fifth graders in communist cucumber school? Conundrum. Free people are not equal. Equal people are not free. A gun is like a parachute. If you need one and don't have one, you'll probably never need one again. The definition of the word conundrum, something that is puzzling or confusing. Here are six conundrums on the subject of socialism. I don't like the word socialism. Socialism to me is a nice, soft word. Socialism, everybody's social. Communist is the word. When I see communists, I see the Romanov family being gunned down in a basement of the palace and then their bodies thrown down a mine shaft. I see Stalin killing 60 million people. I see Mao Zedong killing 80 million people. I see Pol Pot killing 2 million people. I see Castro taking all of the wealth of Cuba for himself, telling the people he did it for them. I see Venezuela loaded with communists and hosting Hezbollah. Yes. You want to build a missile site here? Sure. Come on in. Hey, the Russians will help us. So here are six conundrums. One, America is capitalist and greedy, yet half of the population is subsidized. Two, half of the population is subsidized, yet they think they are victims. Three, they think they are victims, yet their representatives run the government. Four, their representatives run the government, yet the poor keep getting poorer. Five, the poor keep getting poorer, yet they have things that people in other countries only dream about. Six, they have things that people in other countries only dream about, yet they want America to be more like those other countries. Think about that. That, my friends, pretty much sums up the USA in the 21st century. Makes you wonder who is doing the math. These three short sentences tell you a lot about the direction of our current government and cultural environment. One, we are advised not to judge all Muslims by the actions of a few lunatics, but we are encouraged to judge all gun owners by the actions of a few lunatics. Funny how that works, and here's another one worth considering. Seems we constantly hear about how Social Security is going to run out of money, but we never hear about welfare or food stamps running out of money. What's interesting is the first group worked for their money, but the second didn't. Think about that and vote. So that's pretty good, and that's why I read it tonight. Now, what else have we got? You want another tune? Let's see if we can get one to work. This one says the best Brazilian tune. Let's do a little tribute to Communist Brazil.
Como um bom bocado pra te devorar, como um brigadeiro pra te lambuzar. Põe a mão no bolo pra comemorar,
pra te comemorar, pra te comemorar.
Dança o meio-dia pra te conquistar. O violeiro toca e se toca, de olho no chibio da morena. Aqui zoeira, que festa de aroma. Põe essa galera pra samba, é de baixo da saia.
É debaixo da saia que eu vou ficar.
see this GI that went berserk and wiped out his ex-family? Sad, totally sad. But the media had to play it up. As soon as the news broke, before they even knew the story, they had to make this headline. Veteran kills with a gun. And now they've got it more pronounced. Marine Corps veteran kills with a gun. How's that? But if you hear one of these Allahu Akbar shootouts, you don't hear anything. They can't find anybody to identify. And if it's students, they never mention anybody. They never mention. It's like it was done by Weebles. Unbelievable. Chicago principal calls for martial law after Southside teen murdered. Rahm Emanuel has more of higher body count than a Mosul, Iraq in Chicago. And it is really sad. And the Democrats, the party of death, they cover it up because it's their work. It's their legacy. A 15-year-old boy was fatally shot on the South Side, and now his high school principal calls for martial law. DeMario Bailey was shot in the chest 12:40 p.m. on Saturday after being brutally victimized in an armed robbery. Tragically, his twin brother was also with him during the shooting and watched him die. Bailey was a 10th grade student at Johnston College Prep. The school's principal, Garland Thomas McDavid, stated, "In addition to mourning this loss, DeMario's brother will also be forced to live with the horrible memory of his watching his brother be murdered in front of him. I know I speak for every educator who continuously deals with this type of tragedy." What do you want? The students are beating up the teachers. The teachers don't want to get involved. You now have police in schools. This was never the American way. Back in the 50s, you didn't need police in schools. Everybody was getting an education. We had less distraction. We definitely didn't have all the drugs that these guys are popping. The apologies are not enough, and after the fanfare is over, someone has to put their baby in the ground. Principal McDavid was correct. This is an awful tragedy. Oh, it's a woman. But then she continues, "I believe I speak for every mother who lives on the south side of the city in saying we don't mind if it takes martial law to get this order." They're driving the cops out of the ghettos. You think that if you were a cop and you heard people demonstrating in the streets, many of them white communists, if you heard them demonstrating in the streets, hey, what are we going to do? Let's kill a cop today. If you were a cop and somebody said, "Run into that building there, there's people in trouble," would you do it? Huh? You don't think the response time is slow? And you know, it's really sad because I know cops that worked in ghettos, and during 911, they were all pulled out of the ghetto to go to Manhattan and pull duty. And the ghettos were left undefended by the police. And the crime rate soared. The firehouses in the ghettos had to ask for police protection to keep an eye on their cars while they went out on calls because their personal cars were being broken into and robbed. And violence rose. And you know what? When the cops came back off the 911 duty, the decent people in the ghetto, and you know what a ghetto is, don't you? It's a poor neighborhood that Democrats brought drugs into. The people in the ghetto were glad to see the cops back. So, let me see what this lady says. She was correct. It's an awful tragedy. "I believe I speak for every mother on the South Side. We don't mind martial law. He did not deserve to die 3 days from his 16th birthday." Excuse me, martial law? Murder is already illegal, and firearms in the city of Chicago might as well be. Yet violent criminals still manage to find a gun in the gun-controlled capital of the country. Here's an idea. A 15-year-old Demario Bailey was tragically murdered. Rather than calling in the military for martial law, how about we call in Al Sharpton, Jackson, and get Barack Obama on TV stating, "If I had a son, he might have looked like Demario." And following that, let's get Eric Holder to have his Department of Justice launch their own federal investigation. After all, Bailey probably had his hands up, "Don't shoot." That is sad. That is really sad. In the comments, here's one by a lady named Catherine. If Chicago and a few other anti-gun law cities in the United States would clean up their act, martial law on their neighborhoods who produce the violence, America becomes the safest country in the world. You know when America becomes the safest country in the world? When there's no drugs. 80% of the crime will go away instantly. Well, you can never do that because we're in the business. With the few, including the government, with the fewest gun deaths per capita, next would be states like Massachusetts and Rhode Island and New Jersey clean up their current heroin traffic, allowing to skyrocket via its own politicians working with Obama, and the recent cocaine increases from Soamgosh. I don't know what that means. It's like since Obama and is using that open border, alleging another reason, while allowing billions of drugs through and Holder even arming the group. He found friendly political allies and placed crooks in the neighborhood so they could prosper. Unsure but sure seems the pattern matches the thought. Even onto our native Indians reserved or fought for lands, the cartels have done a lot to damage too many. Oh, I said it the other night that Colorado has signed its death warrant. There isn't a marijuana distributed. It's not going to take a bullet. Sharpton or Jackson will never show on a black and black murder because they would have to admit there is a black problem bigger than the race card they're always playing. The biggest problem is hundreds of black children are killed sleeping in their own bed or watching TV in their own house. And where is Obama, Sharpton, and Jackson? And they say the biggest problem is teaching right from wrong. Well, they don't teach right from wrong in schools anymore. Everybody gets a pass. It is really sad. Okay, we'll do a little tune. And maybe I'll look for something else to read. We're coming down to 21 seconds left. Let's see what we can find. Not made in the USA. Back in the USA. Bang, bang. Be true to your school. Yeah, we ought to play this when we're waterboarding. What happened? I didn't do it.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down and says his school is great, I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Hey, take it away. Get that ball and fight.
Go to your school. Now when I cruise around the other part.
like stats? I'm going to give you some stats. This is from Dick Morris. The emerging Latino divide. Tear up the textbooks. A new pattern may be emerging among Latino voters. The conventional wisdom that Hispanics habitually vote Democrat over the immigration issue may be obsolete. Gallup found that support for President Obama's amnesty order was primarily among the foreign-born population, whether Latino or not. Hispanics born in the USA only backed the amnesty plan by 51 to 42. Latinos born outside the USA backed it by 75 to 17. Non-Hispanics born outside the USA backed Obama's plan by 60 to 32. Since only one quarter of Hispanic voters are foreign born, this finding is electrifying. It means that the knee-jerk approval Democrats are expecting from the Latino community may not be a forthcoming, particularly not in sufficient numbers to offset the backlash among non-Hispanic voters. But the longer-term political and social implications of this fissure in the Latino community based on place of birth are even more important. Political science experts have long wondered if the rapidly growing Latino population would augur in a permanent Democratic majority where black and Latino voters reach one-third of the electorate combined. They are now one quarter. Will that cause Republican extinction? Certainly, if Hispanic voters follow African American voting patterns, it would spell bad and possibly fatal news for the GOP. I call them the GOP, the GOP. But the Gallup data suggests that Latinos are assimilating politically into the larger population. And unlike blacks abandoning race consciousness in their voting patterns, like German Americans, Italian Americans, Irish Americans, they left out the Polish Americans, they are mirroring national public opinion in their thinking rather than sticking with their ethnic orientation. This birthplace gap in the Latino vote may help explain the 13-point gain by Republicans among Latino voters in the 2014 elections. While Democrats still won Hispanics 2-1, they did not win by the 3-1 margin that Obama tallied in 2012. For decades, politicians spoke of the gender gap in voting patterns before they realized that pro-Democratic voting patterns were largely concentrated among unmarried women. It was more of a marriage gap than a gender gap. So, with outspoken Latino advocacy groups urging immigration amnesty at the top of their lungs, the compliant and complacent media have assumed that they speak for all Latinos, but they don't. While foreign-born Hispanics account for half of the U.S. Latino population, they are only one quarter of the citizens and perhaps are even a smaller share of the electorate. So Republicans should not fear increases in the Latino population as much as they do. In the second generation, the children of our new neighbors show classical signs of healthy assimilation. And I'm going to tell you what the reason for that is. You want to know what it is? Hard work. Because the guy that cuts your grass from Honduras tomorrow will be the contractor in 10 years that has other people cutting the grass. And he'll have his name on the truck offering the service. And that's because they're moving up the ladder where other elements in this country think that the government owes them a living and they're going to wait until they get it. And you know what they say about people who wait until they get it? On the plains of hesitation, bleach the bones of countless millions who upon the threshold of a victory sat down and waited, and waiting they died. That's our show for tonight, folks. God bless America, and if you don't keep it strong, you won't be here long. I'm going to close with a nice tune. This is a real nice tune. It's going to and I'm dedicating this to all the GIs who've got PTSD, the cops who have PTSD. And you want to know something? You want to hear a comment from one policeman who has seen the demonstrations and the riots? One white policeman, you know what his comment was? Tonight, I have seen firsthand who these people are, and I feel threatened for the first time in my life. Now, when you got a policeman saying that, it's not too long before all Americans will say that. And these people who are pushing the communist agenda and making a grandstand effort to bring it all down are going to regret their actions, because there's a lot of people that are biting their tongue. But there's nothing more dangerous than a pissed off American. So I'm dedicating this to the troops that are being left by Obama in Afghanistan to die, just like he left them in Benghazi. And I'm dedicating this to all who serve, including the mailman. I'm dedicating this tune for all who suffer PTSD. And never forget, God is on your side. Don't overlook him. He is there. He's waiting to talk to you.
The cross on which was hung life's very Lord, God's darling one, Mary's own babe.
soon he will be born again. Until we meet again, have a nice night.